Try and discuss some new developments in spunlace non-woven technology. Just a quick overview of some of the items I'll discuss. Brief introduction and summarising some of the market challenges that we're all facing. I'll step back and do an overview of what I would call a typical spunlace process. Types of products and product constructions that can be manufactured. Some of the general performance advantages that you can achieve. And then finally, some examples of where these products are currently being used. As an introduction, irrespective of the end use or market, technical and performance requirements are becoming ever more demanding. In order to meet these demands, it's necessary for the manufacturer to evaluate new, different, or modified technologies which can manufacture fabrics that deliver enhanced performance, provide a greater degree of process flexibility and exchange the range of products that can be manufactured, allow the manufacture of inline single-step composite constructions, and finally, be more cost-effective. Originally seen as a process more suited to the manufacture of lighter basis weight materials, typically 3 ounces per square yard and below, through much products and process development, we've now developed the process as such that we can make materials commercially up to weights of approximately 20 ounces a square yard, thereby opening up new opportunities for the technology. This is just outlines a typical basic process flow for spunlace, starting with web formation. Multiple systems are being used. The most common are dry laid or air laid systems. Within this group, the most popular being multiple inline parallel laid cards. Cross lapper systems can be used to increase weight capabilities and dimensional stability, likewise turbo roller or random cards. Spun melt systems, both continuous filament and less commonly melt blown systems are being used, and also wet laid web formation systems. And some manufacturers are also using various combinations of the different formation technologies to produce composite structures. Moving into the entanglement section, this essentially consists of three different operations. Pre-wetting, where the web is initially soaked and air removed prior to subsequent entanglement. The entanglement section itself, and then vacuum dewatering. Critical within this section is the process water filtration. High quality water is critical to the process. Without an adequate filtration system, product and process problems will occur. The design of the filtration system becomes even more critical when producing cotton-containing materials, particularly at high blend levels. Due to its variable nature and different grades of cleanliness, the type of filtration system is more demanding requirements than would typically be, for example, if you were processing rayon materials. Material is then dried, typically using through-air technology, before proceeding to the winding process. Several lines of additional, what I would call, value-added inline operations could be including scrim unwinds being introduced prior to entanglement, thermal calendaring capabilities, multiple different types of chemical after-treatment, and then slitting or additional converting capabilities inline. Again, this just shows a schematic of a typical line. Two carding systems with a scrim unwind after each card. Moving into the entanglement section, showing both the flat and rotary configurations, the drying section, and then again, finally, the winding and slitting. This slide looks a little more closely at the actual basic principle of the spunlace itself. Shows the main elements involved, moving with the process flow from right to left. The web is laid on a supporting element, which could be a wire belt, mesh, or drum, which supports it, passes beneath a series of high-pressure water jets across the width of the machine. Dependent on the structure of the supporting element, apertured three-dimensional or patterned structures can be formed. And the typical diameters of water jets is between 100 and 120 microns, of which there are several thousand jets across the width. This is one area, again, where the water quality becomes critical. Any particulate matter that would be in the process water has the potential to block one or more of the orifice which form these water jets, and that would lead to a visual defect in the material. The newer systems, the jets can attain pressures of up to 600 bar depending on the requirements of the end use. And the process consists of a multiple number of these nozzles placed sequentially. typically between 5 and 10 in a flat or rotary configuration, and in such a way that both surfaces of the material can be entangled. And that shows just a typical layout and the different injector or nozzle configurations. Each of the large arrows there indicates a separate injector. First three are shown on a flat configuration there. Typically, the first injectors will be run at a lower pressure, essentially being used to more stabilize the web subsequent to additional entanglement. And then two entanglement drums are shown there. And the drum on the far right side there just shows an alternative web path, so you can thread up differently and manipulate which surface of the material is actually placed in front of the injectors. Specific to our process and trying to illustrate some of the flexibility and versatility that can be achieved, multiple fiber types can be used in addition to all the standard fiber types, such as rayons, lyocells, polyester, etc., cottons, tissues, pulps, splittable microfibers, and then many of the different high performance fibers such as PTFE, PPS, Metra, Pararamids are all being processed commercially. Due to the web formation systems being used, we have very greatly enhanced basis weight capabilities from about 0.7 up to 20 ounces per square yard. Likewise, the products are characterized by having low basis weight variation, excellent web uniformity and homogeneity. Strength characteristics in both machine and cross-machine directions are approximately equal. With the ability to individually feed each card, multi-layer constructions can be produced in a single step. Scrims, nets, or other materials can be introduced into the structure, allowing the manufacture of inline composites. And then also, dependent on the structure of the supporting element used during entanglement, apertured three-dimensional pattern structures can be formed. And then again, we've already mentioned multiple different types of after-treatment options, both inline and offline, can further enhance fabric performance. This shows a little more closely production of a layered material. This particular one is three separate layers, two carded webs with a scrim introduced in between. This is really only limited by either the number of cards or unwinds that you've got to introduce products into the structure. This would be entangled in a single step to form the composite. By using multiple card feeding systems, webs A and B could utilize different fiber types, dimensions, etc. And then you can further enhance the two-sided nature of this product by changing the pressures that are applied to each surface of the material. This shows some of the 3D patterning effects that can be achieved. There's just a few here. Many different types of patterns that can be produced, all again just by varying the structure of the support element used during the entanglement process. And beyond just the visual differentiation that this obviously brings, many performance characteristics can be influenced by the type of patterning put into the material, such as fabric density, filtration efficiencies, thermal insulation, wiping performance, etc. A lot of different things can be influenced by that pattern. This slide illustrates one advantage of the spun lace process in comparison to, a more traditional technology, a needle punch. It does not damage the fibers during web consolidation process. As you can see, the water column or jet flows around the fiber without causing any damage. The needle punch process, the mechanical action of the barbed needles reciprocating through the material has the potential to partially or completely break the fibers. As a result of this, spun lace process allows the performance attributes of the raw material to be fully realized with no loss in strength due to damage. Obviously, this is important in all applications, however, it takes on even greater significance when you're processing high performance, high cost fibers. This further illustrates this effect. It shows a side-by-side comparison of a needle punch and spun lace scrim supported material. You can see in the needle punch material on the left how the scrim has essentially been destroyed, yet in the spun lace it retains its structure. As a broad summary of both potential process and product advantages, process is highly flexible and versatile due to the many different fibre types that can be processed, and is further enhanced by the ability to induce other materials or fabrics into the structure. Typically has high productivity, allows the manufacture of more complex composite constructions in a single step, and no loss in performance due to damage to fibres and scrims during processing. From a very general product standpoint, process yields very clean materials. There are no binders or other adhesives used in the process. In addition to the material being essentially washed during processing, they're very clean with high purity. This again takes an added significance when considering cotton. The materials retain their natural, pure, value-added consumer recognition. Typically, the materials are soft with good drape characteristics, have high strength, good absorbency, low linting performance, and generally have a high degree of web uniformity and improved aesthetics. I'll focus on some of the end uses for these materials. As we already heard earlier, the wipes market and its many different consumer hygiene, medical and industrial applications are the largest user of spunlace materials. While Norrfin did not place a significant focus in this area, preferring to work more in the high-performance niche markets, I'd be remiss, certainly, in the current market conditions not to mention this area. Well, it's long been known that cotton-containing wipes are more desirable over typical rayon-containing materials in terms of both performance and consumer recognition. In the past, spunlace producers have been somewhat reluctant to pursue cotton due to the greater difficulty in processing and it being more cost prohibitive in the commoditized markets. The situation has changed, and increasing amounts of cotton are being used in these markets due to basically two reasons: cotton fiber improvements, making it easier to work in the spunlace process, and primarily at this time, the ongoing market conditions regarding rayon availability and its supply. And I expect this trend to continue. Looking more into some of the high-performance specialty markets, the ability to use a wide variety of high-performance fibres combined with the structuring or patterning options, a range of high-performance thermal insulation barriers has been developed for use in firefighters' turnout gear and motor racing suits. Some of the performance improvements delivered by these materials include improved wearer comfort, improved durability to washing and abrasion, increased breathability. These materials meet or exceed both European and US standards for mechanical resistance, flame exposure, and thermal protective performance. And the performance has been improved to such a degree that in multi-layer constructions, compared to competitive materials, a reduced number of layers can be used. And in single-layer systems, equivalent performance is achieved at lighter basis weights. And still within the performance apparel arena, new IP protected and proprietary technology has been developed, which initially had been targeted at flame-retardant, durable, high-performance outerwear. However, given the performance advantages that can be attained with this combination of technologies, there are exciting opportunities in multiple applications. Using a custom-engineered composite spunlace material combined with state-of-the-art chemical treatments, these materials offer superior performance and a more cost-effective alternative to durable traditional textiles. Our initial targeted markets include firefighters' turnout gear, military uniforms, sporting goods, art flash protection, and general industrial FR protection. And by manipulating the fibre types and blends, and many of these are cotton-containing materials, the structure of the composite spunlace and the types of treatments applied, and many different performance characteristics can be engineered into the product, typically being characterized by, and obviously in the applications I mentioned there, very good or excellent flame retardancy and barrier performance. Just to give an indication of the level of FR, these materials are outperforming 100% meta-aramid woven goods at lighter basis weights. They have excellent durability to washing. Materials have been laundered up to 50 times without loss in performance attributes. They have superior abrasion resistance to incumbent traditional textiles in the applications evaluated. Have increased breathability, reduced heat stress, yield equal or improved performance at lighter basis weights. And they're engineered to be highly wrinkle resistant, yet soft and drapeable, and exhibit good tensile and tear strength performance. switching markets, again, due to a combination of the high basis weight capabilities, approximately equal machine direction and cross direction strengths, and then again, the wide range of fiber types that can be used. Spunlace materials are able to offer a high performance alternative to other technologies within the process air filtration arena. Some of the general performance advantages that can be achieved include lower basis weight variation, improved uniformity, surface evenness, a more homogeneous cross section, and surface smoothness. Using identical fiber linear densities and basis weights, the spunlace material will have a greater number of finer pores and a narrower pore size distribution. As a consequence of the above, equal or higher filtration efficiencies can be achieved at lower basis weights and an overall more effective use of raw materials to achieve comparable performance. We've seen equivalent performance has been obtained at weights 10-15% less than an incumbent needle punch material, and also exhibited improved dust holding capacity and lower pressure drops. And finally, just with some of the other applications discussed, many of the same enhanced performance attributes in combination with the flexibility of the process lends itself to producing materials for multiple medical end uses. In applications as diverse as wound care, barrier materials in the OR, incontinence care products and ortho care products, advanced spunlace technology allows us to offer innovative tailor-made product solutions to the market. And thanks for your attention. I'll try and answer any questions maybe. No, it was regular cotton, but then we did a separate flame retardant treatment. No, it was the actual spunlace fabric was after treated. No, we used a regular cotton, made the spunlace material, and then went to a secondary after treatment step.
After treatment, then made it FR.
Yes.
By any chance, can you send us something?
Of this particular technology right now, no. We're still working through all the IP aspects of it, which will resolve in the next week or so.
Oh, you are still there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
one
way of technology and stuff to finish it after.
I would say so, yes. Certainly if you used treated fibre, just due to the nature of the process, you're subjecting it to high pressure water, the tendency for any finish on the fibres to be washed off into the system could be problematic. It is done, but you've got to be very selective. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, definitely.
How do you do that?
Typically, using conventional finishing equipment.
And dry cure?
Yeah.
And so it has no effect on the battery that you wouldn't see?
Nope, not at all. Okay. I mean, it's very similar equipment to what's being used in traditional textile finishing. In some cases, it can actually be somewhat simplified compared to textile finishing. Yeah, and that's done now, but it's dependent on what the end use that you're trying to get to. If you're looking at something that's a relatively simple chemical treatment, say a binder application for improved stability, then yeah, that's being done today. If you're looking at something where you need inflame retardancy, wash durability, anti-static, antimicrobial, you're going to have a line that's about a mile long, and it's just not going to be feasible to do it that way. It's the actual technology that's being used in terms of the spunlace construction and then the after treatment technology.
The
product construction is unique. Oh yeah, this yes for sure.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Sure.
Do you see fiber fibrillation when you run cotton at any point?
We've not seen it.
Do you know anything about it?
Not with typically with cotton. No, on the grades we've used, that's not been an issue, and that's one thing there. Typically within spun lace, you're looking at very clean bleached grades that have been highly processed. We've not seen an issue or observed any fibrillation there.
One other question that comes to my mind, if no one has another one, being a chemist, I am a solution chemist, so I try to do chemistry and solution whenever possible. I see hydro entanglement, I see water, I want to do chemistry. Is there any sort of a knowledge or experience you've had by putting chemistry somewhere in the hydro entanglement process, anywhere, not necessarily the entangling jets, but anywhere?
I'm not sure I'm following exactly where you...
For example, just to take a wild guess, could you do some bleaching in the hydro entanglement process or apply some sort of a functional finish in the hydro entanglement?
Oh, yes, for sure. You wouldn't want to do it actually within the same water system that you're doing the entanglement with. That would certainly give you huge problems. But, most for sure it could be done, yeah.
Just thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Dr. Smith, did you use bleach cotton powder and spun lacing, or did you try what our friend Lawrence...
We've used both.
Which do you prefer?
Bleached. Because of the, and it's essentially because of the filtration systems. Sure, you can go ahead with the unbleached version, but you would really need to set up a line or the system that will be unique to running that.
And because partly it is already washed and cleaned, and your bleaching will be just right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're running unbleached cotton,
conventional scour bleach, but just put peroxide and even light peroxide. Okay, thanks again.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Just from my perspective, it seems like non-wovens are not as pliable, they're too stiff.
Not true.
Okay.
25 years of developing non-woven fabrics for end uses, it's just not true. You take I don't know how familiar we are with the spun lace materials, but I'm sure there's plenty of guys in here that have seen these products, but I'm pretty sure that you take a weight for weight rayon polyester spun lace and a rayon polyester woven material, you're going to get very soft. Spun lace is going to be softer than your woven material. It's going to be more drapeable. It's not going to be as good in other areas. Certainly, if you talk in terms of durability, strength, it wouldn't be as good as the woven. But yeah. Certainly spun lace would. Even some of the spun melts, when you look at polyprop, fine denier, lightly bonded spun melt materials, can be very soft and drapeable. Needle punch is a kind of a tough one, because typically you're looking at heavier weight materials there, so you lose some of the softness or flexibility just because of the density of the materials. Chemically bonded products can even be very soft and drapeable, depending on what type of resins you use in the material. So that really is not true.
Okay.
You can make soft materials.
May I disagree with you, sir?
No.
Non-woven products, the reason they are drapeable is because the bonds are able to flex against each other.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of non-woven, they are congregates, the aggregates of fibers, maybe 10, 100 companies, depending upon what method and technology you do, they cannot displace each other. They cannot. There's no interrelationship between the conjugate copilot, whereas the mobile tablets are rich tablets.
I'm sorry, but it's just not true. If I had the samples with me today, I can prove it to you. Just. You are just looking purely. Then it's not true.
Fibers are not fixed to each other. They are very flexible.
Not fibers. The conjugates of fibers move. Individual fibers cannot move. Whereas in woven knitted fibers,
the individual fibers can move because everyone in there is individualized.
They cannot be comparable with that of woven and
knitted. No, that's not correct.
I invite you to send us some samples.
I will do so. you give me a challenge.
We'd love to see it.
It's very good. I've seen many products, not cotton, many other products made of polyester. The grape is extremely good, but not as good as more. And people really want grape. Means this is what grape is all about. I don't see at least this kind of grape.
Oh, you didn't know it. No.
You have to let Mr. Smith tell, and that is good that grape is all.
Even with woven, you can produce fabrics
depending on construction.
Yeah, and that's exactly it is. It comes back, to the construction, what you can achieve. Mm-hmm. But in case of non-woven, inherently, there's no interrelation between individual conjugates of fibers. There's no, in other words,
Mike, do you have a comment?
It gets back to your definition of break. Earlier comments you made in the previous session about uniformity, that non-wovens are inherently not as uniform as women's. I disagree with that statement in many applications because if you take a woven sterilization rack, medical end uses, your bacterial filtration efficiency of that product is generally 65-70%. If you take the standard non-woven sterilization rack used today, your filtration efficiency is 90+%. So it depends on how you define uniformity. If you take a bilobal fiber and a round fiber of the same denier, and you make a non-woven fabric out of those, visually, the trilobal fiber fabric will look much more uniform. But if you look at particle penetration or SAP containment of diaper, the round fiber product will function significantly better. So you have to be careful when you make a statement about uniformity or grade. You have to define what you mean by
fiber. Mm-hmm. You're right, for example, airbags, parachute, can we really make as uniform as we can make
individual? That particular example, parachute material.
Yes.
A non-woven, spunless non-woven could work in that application, but it will not because of its strength. In terms of uniformity, permeability, it would work fine in that application, but it would not from its strength. Now, as we mentioned earlier, there's different trade-off and balances on these things. But just pure uniformity.
I didn't qualify. What I said yesterday was about
that. I think at this point, this is a fabulous discussion. I wish I could keep going with it. that's going to take at least a couple of beers each. But why don't we stop it here and carry on in the break? And I would be very interested in talking to you further. And
sure.
We would really like to get some fabulous.
Not a problem.
Super. Thanks so much.